You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Oh, Todd's got a smirk on his face.
Well, did somebody like do one of those right before we went on the air?
That wouldn't be me.
Did I belch a little bit?
I think you either belched or you did up.
He didn't know it was
a little bit of a belch.
Yeah.
I gave him
my
thumbs
LaCroix
up.
Oh, he's drinking water.
Right. You're drinking that, okay. Get that, yes. Carbon stuff.
Like, that's great way to start
I
the
didn't
show.
Know that went over. All right.
Yeah. A little early for that.
Okay. So. Happy hump day to you.
Right.
I love the thing that...
So do I.
I love that.
I do.
The
that
picture
was,
of
John
us.
Did a great job with that.
Yeah.
That looks so much like us, doesn't
I know.
It?
It does.
That's,
it kind of...
Although you look a lot younger.
Than I normally do?
No. The mayor.
Oh, mayor.
That looks like your old pictures at a city council meeting.
Well...
You both kind of look like that.
We kind of... John, you look a little younger too, so there. That's better.
Mm. Let's go back to the caricature.
Yeah, that's right. I like it better,
like
too.
That
that's
better.
There. All right, we feel better.
Yeah, we'll go with that. All right. So,
no more political commercials.
Oh, my lordy, lordy, lordy. I didn't, you know, I thought there used to be more rules about that. Like, you couldn't have them back-to-back. Or,
oh, no.
I thought there were some.
Isn't it amazing how back-to-back, just totally opposite, 100%.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. There's got to be some change in that. And just at least to cap nonpartisan races. I mean, $80 million for a nonpartisan? I mean,
well,
you know,
so
say?
Chris Roth yesterday, this 4:30 show.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, I got some really great news for you. At 6:40, I think it was 6:46 tonight, mm-hmm. Our last political ad's going to run. For a guy on TV to say that, because that is kind of a cash cow.
I went to that.
Speaking of cash cow, Wayne's in the house.
All right. I went to that retirement party at Heights, and the sales manager for WFRV was retiring, and I knew him. I know you know him, too. And I said, well, you know, how's it been the last few weeks? He goes, I didn't do anything. All I did was approve political ads.
Absolutely, because they're sold. Everything's sold out.
They are. They come in, and they just buy, and they knock out, you know, regular advertisers, auto dealers,
absolutely.
And they just buy them all.
Just blow them right out.
Yeah, that's what he said. It's just
but
over.
But
so.
It's a lot... More now. I mean, people
well,
didn't
that's what
spend
he said.
That much money before.
Well, he said it's crazy.
Yeah.
They just, as soon as something opens up, they buy it.
And yeah.
So,
and you got to give them like the lowest rate, I think. Isn't that the rule,
Todd? But you can raise, it's got to be your lowest rate, but you can raise the rates. You know what I mean? But you have to raise everybody's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's impossible. I mean, it's impossible to do because you'd have to think about it all year long.
Right.
Yeah. It's not just that window. It's what your average for the year, whatever that is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for candidate. PACs are different, but whatever.
Okay.
He just said it was.
I'm glad it's over.
So is he.
Everybody is, isn't there? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Anyway, so
got a nice text here. Good morning, guys. Hope you're both having a great day. Angela.
Nice? Thank you.
Very nice. We should check in down the road here with Brittany, because I was watching that forecast last night, and they were talking 5.5 inches of snow and 40-mile-an-hour winds in that part of the state. Yeah, for last night. Really bad. It's like, are you kidding me?
We should have gone this week to vacation.
Wow. This is where it just got... Well, I'll show you a picture. I saw a thing from Nagani, and the guy's out there, and his snowdrift that he had to try to shovel through is about 7 feet high in my hometown. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
It's crazy. I'll get a picture of it. I'll show Todd, and maybe he can put it on the something.
Yeah, if you send it to me, if you text
really,
it to
that's
me or
just,
whatever.
Just this week, 7-foot snowdrift? Oh, my God. I'd move.
Isn't that depressing?
Yes, that is depressing.
That is depressing.
There's not another word for it.
And that's literally his driveway. He's got a little plastic shovel out there. Not sure what he's going to do with that.
I'd call the neighbors.
Todd, I'm sending this one to you, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
It's unbelievable. Show Wayne. Wayne, did you ever have snow like that?
So he cannot. So you look at what today is. Today is walking day. He will not celebrate that.
He will not celebrate that.
Change that to skiing day.
Today is also ferret day.
Those are just, what, rats?
You know, Todd, I screwed up.
What did you do?
Going to get this little thing ripped out of my face or whatever, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
I should have gone to town with a quarter by rat and had him gnawed off.
Yeah.
What movie? Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck, that's right.
Yes. Yeah.
Here's a quarter.
Go downtown, buy yourself a rat, have him gnaw that thing off your face. It's Children's Book Day. Oh, I'm sure my youngest granddaughter is celebrating that.
Yes.
Tell the story so people understand.
So my youngest granddaughter, who's so excited and just, you know, about Christmas. And I remember when I pulled up with her and my other daughter, Lindsay, home from New York. And my youngest daughter, Iris, runs out. And she goes, you know, Dally, Letty, Grandpa John and Lindsay are in. They got presents. They got presents. And boy, Tormo, just so, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So excited. Mm-hmm. And then I got one more for you here. Oh, thank you, Grandpa John. Thank you. And she gets it halfway open. And she goes, a book. And puts it down. And goes,
no.
So, yeah.
I got that picture coming up here on the stream if people want to see it.
All right.
Yes. Yeah, this is my hometown.
And that's yesterday?
Or whatever.
I mean, that's this
yesterday.
Week.
Yeah.
Says one day ago.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what life. Now you understand what I say.
Yep.
You must be able. You must find some interest
outlet. Yeah.
Outlet, or it will drive you insane because it's all you're going to do is shovel snow and blow snow and do whatever and look out the window at snowbanks.
Yeah, and that's this time of year too. It's like it's
they get bad storms
January,
this time of year,
right?
So, got another one here. Good morning, gents.
Ooh, quiche.
I'm enjoying a delicious piece of quiche and listening to my favorite morning show, Michael.
Right.
Thank you, Michael.
We'd love that.
I would love to know how to make quiche.
Yes.
It's not that hard, is it?
No, it's not. I do not make it. Donna makes it, but that is, no, it's not that hard. And is it
like an egg casserole? Because, I mean, I've had it and I love it, but I don't know how to make it.
Well, what's cool about it is quiche, there's like different kinds.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But is it basically cheese, mushrooms, and do you put sausage? Peppers, maybe?
Yeah.
You can have, right?
Yeah.
But is it broccoli? Okay, is it basically...
Right, broccoli's a big thing.
I'm not a fan of fruit and vegetables mixing with other stuff. Like, I hate pineapple on a pizza.
Oh, that's the best.
Somebody was telling me about a broccoli pizza. I hate that. Broccoli and eggs. No. No.
Quiche.
No. Wayne, yes or no? No.
Broccoli?
Keep it down, Wayne. We're trying to do a show here. Today is also DIY day, which is a great day.
I knew you would like that day.
Love that day. If I could go back in time, I would go and be a carpenter.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Just start my life over. That's what I do. Or a welder. Or a truck driver.
And all
or a country singer.
Well, that one,
I think you should be all,
at the top
because then you'd have some material to sing about,
you
right?
You could do
all the other stuff and then become the singer.
I was driving through Nebraska.
One.
Yeah. Ready to build a barn.
Something like that.
I agree. Somebody help me write a song about my life as a carpenter, a truck driver, a country singer, and a welder.
I'm in the unemployment line. Yeah.
Set my shorts on fire.
And my dog.
You know, those jobs that you talked about, though, would you say a carpenter, truck driver, and what was
welder?
The third one?
Oh, and a singer.
The singer one, forget about, but the other three, you would have, those would be great jobs to have today.
No question. No question. Throw in plumbing.
Oh, yeah.
An electrician.
Just any of those trade jobs.
Throw any of those in, and you will, when you go to a trade fair, you're not going to be bringing resumes. People are going to be saying, can I give you a check to work for us?
This friend of mine, she's dating this guy, and I said, what does he do? She goes, he's in school to be a plumber. I'm like,
perfect.
Hang on to him.
Absolutely.
That's sustainable.
Job for life for as long as he wants. Work as hard or as little as you want.
John, what you could do is you could show up at one of those trade fairs wearing your belt, your tool belt.
That's a good point.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It's a good point.
And people will know you're serious about wanting the guy.
I could wear the same shorts that I set on fire welding that time. Just to show them that I do it.
I think if you show up construction in shorts, that would be a sign you don't know what the hell you're doing.
No, I'd wear work boots and wool socks. And a tank top.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Look like that in the Village People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's what they would think, too.
Today is peanut butter and jelly day.
Yeah.
What?
Everybody likes
that.
But it's not, I don't know, I wouldn't, everybody likes it. Right? Who doesn't like it?
I don't like creamy peanut butter.
You like chunky?
As chunky as possible. And the thing is, whenever you had a peanut butter sandwich when you were a kid, it was always the cheapest, most smooth peanut butter you'd ever have. Right? True.
Not in his house.
No, not in his house.
His mom made, just made theirs by scratch.
From the orchard. No, she made by scratch.
Well, we picked the peanuts.
Jimmy, we went to the orchard today.
Peanut butter jelly sandwiches were the staple, right? Didn't everybody have that?
I like, I'm a lot better at peanut butter and butter.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
We did have that as a kid,
I don't
too.
Think we
melt
ever
the butter
had,
on there a little bit. Oh, it's delicious. On toast?
I don't think, I'm not kidding you, John, I don't think we ever had peanut butter without jelly.
See, we, okay.
Well, I'm peanut not, butter is sugar. You put
oh,
a little
yeah,
sugar
yeah,
on
yeah,
top
yeah,
of
used
that.
To that.
I just, I.
Well, even just butter and sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've told this story before, but
cinnamon.
I have to say it every time we talk about peanut butter and jelly and stuff. I didn't know until I was about 4 years old how great a peanut butter and jelly sandwich could be, because what happened was I was sent to school with a bologna sandwich and my friend had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, so I switched. Right?
Oh, wow.
It was the first time I had grape jelly and I about lost my mind because my mom made jelly out of
apples,
raspberries,
tomatoes.
Oh,
out of what?
Tomatoes.
Jelly?
Yeah. Tomato jelly.
I'm like, what is
that
this?
Sounds
He's
like the
it's
grossest
jelly.
Thing.
I'm like, no, it's not jelly.
That sounds gross. Well,
and it had the seeds in it.
Oh, my God.
So, John, when you talk about ketchup? The stuff you had to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not something.
Love you, Mom.
You know what I don't? You know what's something that bugs me, though, too? I don't like grape jelly.
Me either.
What? It's the only jelly in the world I don't like. All right?
Ditto. I do not. Orange marmalade, but not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go to a restaurant. Go to Perkins or wherever. 90% of their jellies will be grape.
Right. Nobody picks that.
Why? Is that why?
Yeah.
Because nobody
I'll tell you what. You guys for a year eat tomato jelly. You will love grape jelly after that.
I've never heard of
it. I would do a lot of things before I'd eat tomato jelly for a year.
I don't even know anything. Well, let's discuss those things because we'll get you to do those.
Else.
I don't know if it's even a product.
I don't think you can buy it. It's just one of those
I'm
things
I'm not sure
that
it's even legal to make it.
Back in the day when mom was trying to stretch things out, she had extra tomatoes. So.
That's like child abuse.
Yeah, I think we called it ketchup.
Yeah.
No, it was on the sweeter side. Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Oh.
Today is also walking day. Not sure Mary's going to be doing a lot of that around the area today. I think Brittany's probably not up, but we got to check.
I've messaged her. We'll see what she says.
The snow they were seeing in 40-mile-an-hour
winds. She was also up doing election coverage last night. So she's sleepy.
Yeah, I listened to our station last night on the way back from Oshkosh. The election coverage.
Awesome.
Covered
it all. Todd Alba and Dan Schaefer.
Yep. We got a heck of a lineup when it comes to that stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
We get an all-star cast.
Mm-hmm.
Lots to talk about today. Kansas City Royals at the Milwaukee Brewers, 11:35 and getaway day here on WISS. Brewers snapping their string last night. They win that one. Was it 4-0, 5-0?
I'm not sure.
Then
exactly.
The Bucks had lost 4 in a row, had their greatest game of the year, highest shooting percentage in team history, 69%. Then in the NBA, I was telling Jim, two things went crazy last night. Joker for the Denver Nuggets had like 62. Steph Murray had 52. Crazy. Just one of those crazy nights in sports. Quick break. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah, I was going to say good luck on Wednesday. On a Wednesday, I was just talking to Big Wayne here, talking about the Negaunee Invitational Basketball Tournament that they used to have, and I used to bring teams up to it. You played in it, did you, Wayne?
No.
Oh, you never did? No. You were at Northern? Oh. But anyway, we'd go up there, and it wouldn't look as bad as that picture I showed Todd of the snow, but there would be big snow, and guys would be like, where are we? I mean, literally, this is almost like, it's got to be like Alaska to have this much snow.
Right.
This lake in April.
Yeah. You come over the hill to Teal Lake.
Yep.
And you're like, why is that thing still frozen?
Completely frozen.
Ice fishermen. You know, there's fishermen still on it in April.
Yeah. People don't realize it. So that's when people complain about we don't have winters like we used to have. There's not enough snow to go sledding or whatever. Head north.
Yeah.
And they're always, where should I go? Just go. And you'll come across a roadside bar that'll have 50 trucks with trailers and snowmobiles.
Oh, yeah.
And you go in there, and they all tell you exactly what's all you got to do.
wonder why we're alcoholics.
I know. Is that the truth? There's a funny thing. I was watching Channel 6 in Marquette, and they were doing a thing, Stomping Grounds, and they were up in Ontonagon County and went to this little bar out in the country. And you want to talk
packed.
About just packed. Just
well, come out to Suamico Shoots, packed.
Just packed, yeah.
That's good to hear, though, because the snowmobile industry, they've gone some places that went a lot of mud.
And no question.
And they've got investment, and that's not that much further to go. You know what I mean? And look at that. That is like perfect.
And it's actually better terrain than a lot of the terrain around here, because, you know, a lot of times around here it's just flat farm field type, whatever. Up there, you're out in the woods, going up over the mountain, not mountains, but over the hills. And no, it's great.
Through the woods.
Yeah. Have you ever been up there?
No.
Like the far north? No.
Well,
I mean, like that Copper Harbor, Keweenaw Peninsula.
If I drove to.
It'd be like where Michigan Tech is.
If I drove to Mackinac?
Well, you're just going straight east.
That's really about it, John. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, well, you traverse the whole UP by doing that. But I mean, you were never up there for a winter type thing.
Oh, no.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, travel up the hill to Calumet during a snowstorm.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I mean, we've skied up there, but
did you ever see that video on YouTube about that? How to make a left-hand turn in the UP in the winter? And it's guy, he's going down, I think it's that hill, and he's going down sideways for a long time. And then all of a sudden, he hit a patch of dry, and he made his left-hand turn.
Just like that. When I went up to Marquette to NMU, I had a 1981 Pontiac Firebird that I refurbished in shop class.
Oh, wow.
It was a piece of junk.
Oh, but I loved Firebirds, though.
But you know, drive down to Marquette in a snowstorm going down the hill.
These hills are horrible. Horrible.
Although, give them credit because they're sanded.
Yeah.
Because they put the snow out on the lake. That's why they don't use salt, right?
You know what happened to me one time?
Oh, they can't.
Right.
Salt?
Yeah, in the UP, they use sand.
No, they can't.
Don't they use salt?
No. Why? Because they put the snow on the lake.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
All these years, I didn't know that.
Well, they used to.
Why did our cars try it? Why did it get so rusty all the time then? God, you spend that extra $500?
Well, the sands get salt.
For the undercoating, those didn't do a thing.
Yeah. No, right?
Well, first of all, they're buying them like they think they're new and they're 1975.
Yeah.
But that's true. That got more expensive for municipalities because we used to just push the snow into the river and you can't do that anymore.
Oh, you can't do that anymore? No.
Because of the salt.
Yeah. Did you have a contest of when the snow would fall down? That's what they did in Marquette.
I can show Jim this really
super quick.
No, we
didn't have that, but we talked about...
Talk amongst yourself, Wayne.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. You can talk to Wayne. Oh, yeah, that's funny.
I'm 6'3", 240 pounds, grayish, brownish hair.
Oh, John, you got
now watch.
I'm a beekeeper. From Suamico, Wisconsin.
Driving down the hill in Marquette. That's
funny. It does a complete 360 tut right where he wanted to make his left-hand turn and just goes right into his turn.
All right. That's great radio. Great radio.
So, Wayne.
I
was reading. No, I wasn't reading. I was watching CBS News.
This is big.
Sunday morning. And one of their big stories is the huge crisis in the bee industry. Like 100 million or something have died.
I've been waiting for Moline to reach out, but I didn't want to because there's really no results yet from everything.
But I mean, this was a huge national story.
And I was watching Meet the Press, by the way. But anyway, Johnny would want. But this is really big news. I mean,
I think every in farming, there's always something that happens that creates change.
Locusts.
And this is one of them. So back in 2006 to 2008, you had the same similar thing, CCD, colony collapse disorder, and where you had a bunch of bees dying. So to explain the situation, so it's just not bees falling out of the air dying. I'll take you back a little bit because it's like anything. There's a slow progression to this, I've talked about this before. There's something, you know, the almond industry is huge. So in California, there's a Northern and Central Valley. I don't know the exact area, but 90% of the world's almonds are grown in California, and they bloom for 2 to 3 weeks from like mid-February to mid-March. So how this all came about and what happened, and then what happens is it takes 80% of managed honeybees being sent out there to pollinate these trees. So you have this mass migration of livestock going out there. So what? So
85% of all the bees in the United States go out there.
Yeah, there's like 1.5 million colonies.
Like on their own, like it's instinct, like the salmon spawning up the river.
They're trucked out there.
Oh, okay.
So like for instance, we have a commercial beekeeper in our club.
Then do you lose them?
Nope. So I'll explain.
I'm going to stop asking questions.
No,
you just go ahead.
No, this well, is good. I'll explain it because I'll explain the process because then it'll lead into what's happening.
Okay.
So what happens is you have your orchard owners out there that, you know, own.
How do they know when the truck's leaving?
So who, the bees? Yeah. So, okay, this is, quit asking questions now.
Okay.
So what happens is. The bees have to go out there. So you have the orchard owners that own the orchards, and they need, quote, so many colonies per acre, which is like one colony per acre of almonds to pollinate, because, you know, they need to be pollinated to have their crop.
Right.
So they'll say, so then they work through a broker. So there'll be a broker and say, hey, I need 1,000 colonies on my orchard and I want them here on this date.
Okay.
So then the broker has his connections and he'll call around to the commercial beekeepers and then, you know,
you get a phone call.
Yeah.
So and then the guys in Vermont and all over the United States,
Wisconsin, everywhere, okay. All over the United States.
Why do you do it, Wayne?
I don't do it.
Okay.
I don't do it.
But then they get paid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
all right. This is an interesting story. I didn't know how this.
Yep. Okay, let's set a quick break. Back with Big Wayne, A-Frame Acres, right after this.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Turnout for the spring election was high in the Fox Valley. In Winnebago County, an upset for county executive. Incumbent John Damel lost to challenger Gordon Hintz, who collected 53% of the vote. Another upset in the Oshkosh Common Council race, incumbents Joe Stevenson and Carl Bulow won re-election. However, Paul Esslinger did not return to his position. Instead, challenger Brad Spanbauer was elected. For Oshkosh Area's school board, incumbent Molly Smiltnik will be sworn in for her first full term, and Michael Ford was also elected. In the greater Green Bay area, all three incumbents running for re-election on the Howard Suamico school board were successful. Scott Jandrin, Alan McGuire, and A.B. Rubright will continue serving. In Green Bay, James Lyerly won re-election to the Green Bay Area Public Schools Board of Education. However, incumbent Rick Crossan did not. Instead, challengers Jeanette Nill and Alex Minot will take their seats on the board. For more election results, check out our story on the website. The polling day got off to a rough start in Green Bay Tuesday. Power outages affected traffic lights and polling locations on the west side. Thankfully, power was restored by 9:45 a.m. People who were in line to vote were encouraged to remain in line and wait it out. The affected polling locations were the Perkins Park Shelter, St. Paul's United Methodist Church, and St. Jude's Catholic Church. Taking a quick look at the statewide races decided yesterday. Susan Crawford will be the new Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, ensuring the court's liberal slant for the next few years. Jill Underley won re-election as State Superintendent of Public Instruction, and the statewide referendum to place a requirement for photo ID when voting into the Wisconsin Constitution passed. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
All right, don't forget, our statewide text-to-win contest called Break into Spring is still going on. It's your shot next hour, to win Brew Crew tickets for AmFam Field. Again, they won last night 5-0, so maybe they're on the upswing down there. Download that Civic Media app now. Get ready for it. Choose WISS or WGBW later on, and get ready to text the word in. It's your shot to win Chula Vista Getaways, those Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets, or cash, and you also go into the grand prize drawing for a brand-new Queen mattress set from Burl. That includes mattress, sheets, and more. That's coming up this morning after 7 o'clock with your friends and mine, John Mino and Jim Schmidt. Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back with Big Wayne from A-Frame Acres. We're learning some fascinating stuff. First of all, you guys got to be impressed with me that I brought out something that's true.
Yeah, that would be impressive.
Pistachios can cause fires.
Everyone's going to throw out their pistachios.
I know. I think part of what you said is true.
Yeah.
That if you get 3 pounds, but I think it's probably more than that. I have 3 pounds of pistachios, I think, in the cupboard, but they're not going to burst into flames.
I don't know.
Call the fire chief. Get him on there. Get him.
I saw this. Okay, I was watching Channel 2 last night, like I told you. I was watching, and Brad's back, which was a really fun segment about different things. And his last night was at April Fool's, or is it true? And one of the things was that pistachios can cause fire from spontaneous combustion.
I don't. What? Yeah, I'm with the mayor. I think it, I think it's seems,
Why would they start in stores, John? Because that's a lot more than 3 pounds.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I think storage.
When they store them, they're probably storing them in bins the size of this room, which probably.
Okay, but it said in shipping, when they're shipped up from South America, they have to have special cargo ships because they're afraid of the ship starting on fire.
Yeah, because of the size of that, the mass quantities that they're shipping at one time.
Do they spray them down then? Probably, yeah.
I don't know.
So I just looked it up real quick. Under specific conditions, pistachios, like other nuts high in fat, can spontaneously combust due to the heat generated by the breakdown of their oils, especially when stored in large quantities or with moisture.
Okay, it's large.
Large is more than 3 pounds.
Large is, we're talking tons, probably.
3.5 pounds.
You didn't listen to the whole thing, did you?
John, I think it was 3.5 tons.
Maybe?
Exactly.
3.5
That's probably what it was.
Three and a half something.
Hey, kids, okay, how would you like to be on that ship out in the middle of the ocean?
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 3.5 tons.
Wow. Okay. You'd be close. Floating out there. It'd be like a bunch of chum just floating around out there with all the pistachios. It would be.
All right.
Right, Wayne? Wayne, help me out here.
I know. You're on your own.
But, wow.
Wayne, the reason we wanted to get you on here, John saw the most interesting story about all these bees that have died, and you are Mr. Circle of Life.
Yeah.
And we're concerned that this was going to affect the ecosystem.
Yeah.
So wait. Okay. You want to talk about that, or do you want to talk about the honey thing first? Because that was pretty fascinating.
Well, yeah, and I said to you, I've got allergies, and you're like, hey.
And Wayne makes his own honey.
And you gave me some domestic, right?
Just delicious.
Honey from?
Suamico.
Right. And you said that my daughter should buy her honey from Nashville because she has allergies because it's the pollen.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, is this going to affect the honey? And then you said, well, 80% of the honey comes from.
Well, you have two. So bees forage on many different things. So in honey, you have two things that people are looking for. You have the pollen, which is where if you have allergies, that's what you're concerned about. You want to eat the honey that from your local area because the bees are foraging on the plants that you're allergic to. So raw honey, that's the key, is raw honey. Raw honey is not treated. So it doesn't kill the enzymes. That's the other health benefit in the honey are the different enzymes.
Okay, when I took out a wall in a house one time, it was almost the size of that window of honey.
Yeah.
Could a person eat that?
Heck yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the allergy season's going to start for me. I'm a spring allergy guy. Yep. But I have to get honey that says right on the back.
Well, the thing is, you have, if you there's a saying. It's not honey unless you know your beekeeper, because you want to get honey from the grocery. If you're buying honey from the grocery,
boy, those beekeepers, when they get together for a convention.
Oh yeah,
boy, it's just a laugh a minute, huh? Kiss me, honey.
Bunch of nerds.
I'm the sweetest one here.
Oh man, that's kind of funny.
Let's be friends.
So either you've seen these things, John, or you're really quick at coming up with them.
I get no respect.
Wow.
Here.
So, okay, you have to know your beekeeper to get real honey.
Because
that makes sense.
And the reason is because if you go to the grocery store, 80%, I'm just guessing, but it's probably 80% or so, the U.S. is the largest consumer of honey in the world. We have to import 70% of the honey that we consume.
No way.
Yes.
I thought it was all grown in the United States. I'll be totally honest. It seems like there's so many beekeepers. This is such a big thing.
It can't be. We're only like
I'm going to go even deeper.
No, but wait a minute. We're such a small percent of the world's population. Well, why do we consume so much honey?
Okay, we're going to get into a little bit of politics here. but good politics. Okay, so back, I don't know when it was, but the 60s or the 70s when they started importing the honey. Well, guess what? Brazil, China, they started basically call it honey dumping. They're sending so much honey to the United States for cheap. So when you go to the grocery store and you can't help people, that they're going to look for the cheapest thing, right? On the, and they're not, everybody is like the mayor looking for the quality foods. Okay. No, I'm just saying, because you're going to look, you're like, oh, I need honey. Oh, this honey. Oh, this clover honey. This is $4 a pound. Wow, that's a great deal.
But I hate to say it, but I think the packaging, the logo, the thing like that sometimes plays a role.
Absolutely. So, because it will say local honey on it. You know why it says local honey? Because it's packed by a local packer in the region. But it's really brought in from Brazil or China. So,
did not know this.
So we know that the amount of honey that's coming in the United States can't be produced by that amount. So they're adding corn syrup and different sweeteners to this honey to dilute it. Well, the border, they can't test everything. We know it's coming in.
What if it says 100% pure honey on the label?
Prove it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So then what happens is now the honey prices. So if you're a commercial beekeeper, back then commercial beekeepers, your product was honey. So now all of a sudden this honey. So if I were to sell my honey right now to a wholesaler, to a packer, I'm getting like $1.80 a pound. I sell it on my stand for $10 a pound. You can't survive off $1.80 a pound. You can't beekeep for that. There's so many inputs. So that pushed the commercial beekeepers to pollination. You can't make a living just selling honey alone, because the import, we import so much honey and it's driving the prices down. That's why I hope that these tariffs hit the honey too, is exactly because we have to. So then this kind of leads us into what's happening now. So then the commercial beekeepers, I think it was the 80s when pollination became, that's the direction that the commercial guys go. So now what happened, the commercial guys, they're basically sending their bees, they're following the pollination. So the first event that of pollination is in California, it's the almonds. So we produce 80 to 90% of the almonds in the world. And the almonds blossom during this 2 to 4 week period, mid-March to mid-December. So the almond growers out there need bees. They're not self-pollinating, so they need pollinators to pollinate all these trees. Well, when you have thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of rows and rows of trees, the native pollinators aren't enough. So they have to ship in bees. So the commercial beekeepers then are getting paid, I think right now it's about $180 to $200 per hive. And they truck them into California. You can get 408 colonies on a semi. So you start adding that up. Well, what would you rather do? Sell honey or go with pollination? so now you have these mass. So now you have all these bees going out to California to pollinate. And how this big bee claps came about was the brokers that are organizing the mass migration of the bees were calling their beekeeper, hey Wayne, it's December, late December. We need to start getting your bees ready to get out to California. So then me, beekeeper, and these guys are managing anywhere from, our local guy has 1,600 hives. There's guys that are doing 10,000, 20,000 hives. They're big companies. So now, and if you're in a northern climate, some of these commercial guys, when they're coming off the summer flow here and everything, well, they have to, they can't put them, kind of tuck them in for winter, quote, like I do, where it's like, okay, bees, calm down. You need to survive the winter. They need to juice them back up. So they're sending them out to outyards out in Colorado. Some of them are actually putting them into indoor storage sheds. So these brokers say, hey, get your bees out here. Well, they started pulling their bees out of the sheds and they're like, holy moly, we just lost 50% of our hives. They're dead. sitting in our, you know, sitting in storage or sitting out in the field. And some of these guys have lost that, so that had 10,000 hives had lost 80%.
But why? What's killing them?
So we don't know. We don't. That's where I'm kind of going.
Okay, the reason we have you here this morning is to tell us why the bees are dying.
I'm gonna get there.
Why? Which
you
day?
You wanted to. You've been on a show for almost a half hour. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I'm drawing out. Okay. So then the crisis is now. This is the tale.
Now we got a thing here from Todd. 2019, China first in consumption now of honey. USA right behind it. 438 million pounds of honey imported into the U.S.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what's killing them?
A billion people, too.
So
they got to eat.
Yeah. So we have all these dead bees now that now this is the start of what's going to happen is you have a lack of bees pollinating the almonds.
Why don't the almond guys get into the bee business?
Well, they because the that's a whole nother. You can't have two different. There's I don't think you could. Because it would be too labor intensive. The bee business is so labor intensive in inputs. So anyway, what's killing? So that's where everybody the crisis is now. Is we have almonds that you probably are going to go up in price because the almond orchard guy, you know, they didn't get the amount that they want. Now the next one is, you know, blueberries and it's cherries and it's apples. So
they all need bees.
They all because if it's not self pollinating, you need a pollinator.
Why are the bees dying?
We'll get to that after the break.
On Thursday.
What should you want to know? Don't you mind about the future? Don't you try to think ahead? Save tomorrow for tomorrow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. 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 What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Hey, welcome back. Fight of the Mayor. Jim and John are complaining about a guest meandering a bit. That's funny.
Exactly. I know.
All right.
Todd, is my mic not on?
He's.
Hello.
Okay, I'll
again.
I'll
it's another guest smarter than us, which happens all the time. Yeah. So
I'll speed up.
Wait, this is no. Okay. This is interesting. There's a lot of
I think it kicks up there. Yeah.
There's a lot of facts that I didn't know. First of all, I didn't know how important pollination was to almonds, blueberries. And that the fact that there's not enough bees to do that, so that's why they have to bring in the commercial bees, and they're dying.
So a third of all the food that we eat needs to be pollinated. So they always say one out of every three bites comes from pollinators, which is true. So the reason why we need these mass amounts of honeybees is the way commercial farming is. We have because we have to feed the world, right? This isn't the caveman days, mm-hmm. You know. So you have all these plants, these crops in one place. Well, the native bees, there's not enough of them to do the pollination.
So we have to bring outside labor.
Exactly.
Immigrants.
Yeah exactly.
And they die every year, but this year, for some reason, a higher percent are dying.
Yeah, so
and you don't know.
So what happened?
So we brought you on here to tell us why.
Yeah. So go back.
I don't remember.
So go back before the 80s. Okay. They call it the golden years of beekeeping, where the beekeepers would say
we talked a lot about that.
Bees were alive, buzzing around.
It was easy.
What did you call them?
The golden years of beekeeping.
Oh yeah, we stack them. I remember that.
Stack them and pack them.
Absolutely.
I loved growing up in that time.
Me too.
Well, then this little thing called the Varroa destructor came in from Europe.
Yep.
And guess what? They came. It's a parasite that looks like a little tiny tick. Came in, and now they're living. They're basically reproducing themselves in the beehives, which these mites then spread viruses. They're a vector of viruses. So in the 80s, then beekeepers started to have to treat for these mites. Mm-hmm. So synthetic miticides came about. Oh, great, these things work. Well, we know what happens with synthetic, you know, products is the parasites will become resistant to it. So you have all these different synthetics that the beekeepers have used through it. And so now throughout the years, apparently now we're thinking that the one that a lot of the commercial guys use is Ametraz. Most likely now the mites have become resistant to that. So you have more mites, and now they're thinking that there's some new viruses, because there's different viruses, deformed wing viruses that have come in that these parasites are spreading. And that's what's causing, of course, the bees, they can't take that. They can only take so much, and that's what's causing the collapse.
So it's a virus.
Like a COVID.
Yeah. Well, it's a virus, and it's just
caused by mites.
It's all these stressors. So to kind of, so think about this. So we have you with little baby bees. You need to have the queen. I'm going to go down a whole rabbit hole. I don't want to do
really?
That. But so it's just a lot of everything. We're trying to treat the mites, and that okay. Anyway.
So to summarize, Wayne, in the next
get me 45, back on course.
For the next, summarize in the next 45.
Jim didn't know that bees are needed to pollinate.
Not just one text, several texts.
He's being nice to me. All right. So there's one of the reasons more than 40%, which normally die,
right.
It's much higher, could be a virus.
Yeah. So, exactly. So normally commercial beekeepers, it's about 30%.
Oh, 30, okay.
Now it's 68%.
And that could be this virus like happened in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, it's a different virus.
I know it's a different virus.
So think about this. If you're a farmer, say, when I talk to Malene, I'm like, she's a dairy farmer. I go, think about if you had a herd of 100 cows, and every year 50% of them died, how are you going to maintain? So with the beekeepers, if you have 50% of your colonies dying every year, you can come back from that because you can split the bees and everything. But if you have 68%, which is now happening, you can't come back from that. It's too costly.
How much does it cost to buy bees?
$200.
For what?
For an amount of bees that you need to start a colony.
Like, how many bees is that then?
10,000 bees. It's a 3-pound.
Oh, that's not bad. So a bee itself is only worth what? 10 cents?
Well, so now think of a beekeeper. Now think of a beekeeper that lost 2,000 hives.
Yeah.
He's got to replace them. That's a lot of money. You can't just come back. It takes you years to build your
Do they mate?
No, the queens.
Yeah. Remember, babies?
Did you know a drone, a male bee, does not have a father? He's got a grandfather, but not a father.
Did not know that. I'm glad I know it now. That could be a jet sometimes.
back that up.
Second. Yeah, that's not.
We won't go down that.
But do they have? Are there baby bees?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay.
So the queen's job, her
that's,
only
that's
job.
That's all they do.
I didn't know they had kids, so I thought maybe she was on the pill or something.
Now everybody's going to be texting. Didn't Mino know that the queen bee lays eggs?
That's all they do.
That's her job. She's basically the queen bee.
I knew they got it on, but I didn't know that there was anything result.
That's enough. So the queen bee, her job is to only reproduce I take away that word, but lay eggs. That she's the slave to the hive.
Right.
How a colony reproduces is they swarm. But the queen, what happens is when she hatches, she goes out on a mating flight. She mates with, you know, they say 9 to 20 drones, male drones.
A night?
Just one time.
That's Mino. She comes back.
That's back at ASU.
Yeah, she's got enough sperm to last her lifetime.
Oh,
that's it.
Well, I'm gonna take that and make a promo on it.
hey, here's another funny one. So you know where the term honey nut Cheerio came from?
Where?
So when a male drone, that's their only job in life is to mate with virgin queens. When they after they mate, they die.
What does that have to do with honey nut Cheerio?
Right.
We just got a text in. We just got a text. John's comments really sting.
All right. Wait, next time.
Got another text here. I've actually got a t-shirt from the golden age of beekeeping.
Okay. Well, Wayne, next time.
Thank you, Wayne. Well, thank
next
you so
next time
much.
You come back, Wayne, we're going to find out why the bees are dying.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I have an answer because there's just a whole lot of everything, basically, is the answer.
Could have texted me that. All right. Great seeing you. We'll be back after this. Very quaint.
national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.